Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here with our New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Rav Lyman. Hello. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. And we want to learn together with you from Rav Lyman how to reach happiness. We're talking about happiness in this series of ours, and each time we're trying to verify this huge, deep subject from a different angle, different perspective, so we'll be able to not just talk about them, but to start feeling them, to start taking our lives to a place, a happier place. Be with us. There will be a lot to learn. Let's take the journey. And tell, what are we focused on today? Today is a really special show. We want to talk about the whole subject of happiness and positivity. We know it's a very big subject, a very big sector. We hear about it a lot in the science of happiness, and it's interesting to see that there's lots of approaches. Of course, it's psychologists dealing with it, and it turns out that psychologists have gone through a process with this. For the last 60 years, at the beginning of psychology, it worked according to a model of disease. They checked mental disease, depression, anxiety, and you can see it really well in the research, the gap between the research dealing with the negative things and the positive things are 21-1, meaning there's so much more research dealing with what's not okay with us. For example, they did some research for 33 years. They checked which subjects, first of all, anger, 5,000, 41,000 about anxiety, 45,000 about depression, in contrast with just 400 about joy, 1,700, 2,500 about satisfaction in life. It's really important thing, satisfaction, joy, and they dealt with it a little bit. Psychologists, there's positive psychologists that say there's a real problem with this because we forgot about motivation, how to take people who have no problems and make them happier, how to actually strengthen our strengths. And actually, psychology in the last few years understood that they need help. Another issue, this positive approach was a reaction like the behavioral psychology that looks at the person as like a box getting... they did a psychoanalysis of people. It's someone that's motivated by all kinds of urges. He lives his life in control. He has all kinds of things pushing him from childhood. And this positive psychologist say we're way more than that. We're more than some box that takes in and out and just has urges and controls. We have potential. And this potential we need to nurture. We need to strengthen it. And all this is very innovative. So Martin Seligman and all the psychologists say, let's focus on the good. Let's focus on the thriving society and people and define it. So the question is, if we want to be happy and healthy, is it important for us to focus on good? First of all, we need to see that all development of man comes from negative urges. That we always have this thing coming from back, this bulldozer, because we want to prevent something bad. And therefore, all of our development is not how much I want to achieve the good, but rather how much I want to at least prevent the bad. If we take our lives, also in accordance with the number of research in the negative situations and positive situations, we can also see that the movies, the music, all kinds of things. I'm talking about serious things, not classical music and not pop music that also comes from things that are sort of addictive. They're like a drug. It's sort of an escape from reality. But truly, even if we take music or literature, classic literature. It conveys to us this culture, negative things, how much a person is dealing with, how much he's fighting, how much he's suffering, how much he's not succeeding. Love, if there's a little bit, there's something against it. There's a war, an inner war, an external as well. Tragedy, it all comes out. How much words do we have to describe our suffering? There's 700 kinds of fears. And how can I say that I feel good? I'm happy. I feel good. We don't even have in our lexicon enough words, enough ways to describe the good, the happiness, the pleasantry, the good approach. No matter how much you say, it even looks childish. It's like I need to go down from a level of seriousness to some simple level, laughing. It's called being not serious. We're programmed from the beginning of life for suffering. We go into school, even nursery school, even before that possibly, with a mother that doesn't understand, but that's how she was also tricked when she was a child, and then she grew up and she became a woman and a mother. She was also programmed to be in a special framework, how she looks at life, how she relates to life, her perspective or values in contrast to suffering and not toward good. And this is how we always, this is how we live. Our life is to prevent the bad and not to be attracted to good. And also the good that I paint for myself, it's also not good that I defined it. It's what was defined by other people. You have to be rich, strong, big, in control, which also comes through negative force, that I have to show that I'm bigger than someone else. I have to check myself compared to someone else, who I am, what am I, and prove myself. And also in that, we don't have happiness or joy or in some good feeling, pleasant, easy, simple, in any place. So even when they're researching joy, their joy is not the true joy that I'm the happy one, but rather I'm happy. I might say that to myself according to what was defined. I was really programmed like that, and I continue in life. I want to know what's bad and what's good, and that's how I prevent the bad, and I'm attracted to the good. And neither of them, good or bad, they're not mine, and I'm not sure which is correct. Therefore, positivity, what we want to attribute to joy, requires of us possibly new definitions. And the fact that until today we have very few people researching this programmed happiness and this limited happiness that they taught, according to what they taught me, was happiness, and that's how I work. Even according to that, we have very few researchers until we reach the new, truer definitions, which is my happiness and mine is not determined by this environment that defines what should make me happy or not. The society is defining that happiness is success, how much you earn, how much you invest, what kind of house, what kind of car, etc., etc. According to that, I check how happy I am. And that's not positivity. If I was in another society, everything would change according to the values and society of that values of that society. So it's not me happy. I'm happy because I'm carrying out the laws of the society I'm in. I'm a slave. That's it. Therefore, happiness and positivity. Let's check what it means to be free from the pressures that society dictates. The values that I'll be happy on my own. Is that possible? What does it mean, Michael, the happy person? Is there such a thing or not? Or maybe I'm happy because that's what they said. They're looking at me. And according to how they're looking at me, like a little boy, has to always hold himself in a good way. And maybe I don't feel like that because those same lines of behavior have defined me, and I myself, I'm part of it, and I require from myself to carry them out. Therefore, we need to define what a happy person is, what a free person is, and the positivity that he has in it. What is positivity? What is it toward? Positivity, it's like a positive phenomenon, a positive feeling. By filling desires of my fellow man, that are in me, or maybe it's a positive feeling. I can't just live in a space. What are the standard definitions, the real lines? Because to escape all the time from bad, or to be attracted to something good that someone told me was good, we see that today, it's not for nothing that psychology developed, because people aren't happy. Even though we give ourselves opportunities in our world today, each person has a lot of opportunities, but I see that the more and more I get to know the younger generation, they don't want anything. It's this escape to the east, of course. Everything, to every place. They don't want to study. They don't want to do anything. The main thing for them is somehow to pass the time easily, like a plant. There's drugs, all kinds of inclinations, at least pills that calm us down, tranquilizers, even the feeling of happiness that we give to them, and we're willing to give our kids everything. They don't feel happy with those opportunities we give them. They don't care about flying, to be in certain places, to take journeys, to read. It's like they don't care about that stuff. They don't get any feeling from it. So what kind of positive feeling can there be? What kind of positivity? I want to talk about something, techniques that people are trying to use to be happier. You spoke before about us being programmed, about an approach that... It reminds me of Freud's approach, because you said that we as people are pessimistic. We were born into a state of conflict. There's life and death, and we're not aware of why we behave the way we do. And this is man's nature. Now, this whole positive approach that developed, according to Seligman and others, they say we can be happier and more positive if we change the way we relate to our life events, if we analyze the events in our life in a different way, if we change our faith, if the way we analyze things, if our expectations are different, why things happen and they didn't work out the way I wanted. There's all kinds of techniques that allow this. For example, to challenge myself, my basic fundamental assumptions. if I should put aside the things that are really bothering me for now and deal with them later, to externalize things inside. The question is, which is more suited for your approach, Freud, or the positive approach that says, if we know to identify the thoughts, our faiths, our basic assumptions of life, then we can change our journey in life. Of course, it would be desirable to identify and change, but according to what to change? I don't live in some empty space. I'm first of all in society. Second of all, who is I? I'm programmed. I'm built. I'm made. I'm cooked. I came out of a certain environment. And for the 21st years of my life, they did all the work on me. And therefore, I is not I. It's a result of society. We can take a person, we can interrogate him according to questions, answers, tests. We can even say precisely anything, each and everything. It's clear. I don't even know how to describe a free person. I don't know what it is. I never found such a person. Maybe if I'll be like Robin Hood, Robin Crusoe, I'll meet that person from the jungle who comes, then maybe he's also not free. Maybe he's also a result of the environment. There's no person, nor he comes from the animals like Mowgli, and he comes as a result of the environment. So we're not capable of describing to ourselves a free person. And here's the question. Do we need to go in this direction? If Freud's path is like not good, we're dealing with wars, inner wars, and with putting down happiness and positivity that all a person has is to get away from it a bit. And the whole life is like this. He's pessimistic. And also his time. He's also the forefather of psychology. That's what it starts from. If we didn't have the problem of happiness, let's say, and truly happiness, then we wouldn't have psychology, because it's a search for happiness that brought us here. And he was right. The moment that he developed this research, this first research, the internalness of people, so first of all, he researched what he had. It's also a special time, the World Wars, the Second World War, all those things on the one hand. On the other hand, searching for the big things that are about to develop, like the atom bomb, etc. It was as if they were on the verge of great development. So all this, with this perspective, this unpleasant perspective, there's no wonder that this is what he researched. And this is at the foundation of people, that were evil from basically nature, and the whole Torah strengthens this. But in the positive direction, of course we need to look in this direction, but the question is, on the basis of what do we check? Because first of all, we need to define what happiness is and what positivity is. Can there be happiness or positiveness that's not dependent on our society, and what I'm in already in my life, what I am? And here we reach. You want to add something? You have a lot of research. I have a lot of nice things, so why shouldn't we hear? So really, under this question, whether we can choose to change our thoughts and faiths, there's a really good legend about two wolves. Many years ago, in the caves, in the desert, an old person told his grandchild, he said, inside each person, there's a fight, like a fight between two wolves. One represents all the bad and the lies, and the other represents the good, peace, love, hope, truth, good-heartedness. And the grandchild thought about it a bit, and he said, at the end, the good one wins. And the grandfather smiled, and he said, the one that wins is the one that you feed. And truly, psychology, there's an understanding that identifying the significance that we give to things, the way we think, really influences our behavior, like a student that goes to a test thinking he's going to fail the test. And in life, it's very different from a person that comes with an approach. It's just a test, and I prepared myself, and I'm capable. And it turns out that the way we think, the way we prepare ourselves for all kinds of things really influences us. And there's a lot of research that shows that positive thinking truly influences our mood, our health, how we deal with all kinds of diseases, or recover from all kinds of situations. Positive thinking has positive impact on our lives. And positive psychology says we can get all kinds of techniques, acquire techniques that will allow us to influence our lives in a good way. So the question is, even though we're programmed and even though we come prepared, is my happiness dependent on me and how I think and what I'll think? No. No, my happiness is not dependent on me. I still check it through the environment. The question is which environment? And this is the main point. I can program myself in a new way if I choose an environment. If I get the opposite of Freud, that I want an environment that's optimistic, strong, and good, and there's a positive connection between people, positive, we're talking about, meaning that we build a completely different society. And in what way does it exist? And I reach that same society according to my free choice. I don't know how free it is, but I feel like it. I have some initial urge to join them. And then I want to program myself in this new way through this new society. I want to delete this entire previous program, my perspective of the world, my paradigms for certain things. I completely want to get rid of the internalness that I received, the filling I received from the age of 1 year, even less, until the age that I reached this environment. I want to erase it. Not to erase knowledge, because that's data, but rather somehow to delete how I relate to them, my behavior, my perspective, that it will be different, that it will be positive through this new society. I want them to give me new perceptions, new definitions, new values, everything from new. And this is how I want to look at life. So you mean, if I myself, say I got a negative thought, let's say I thought that for sure something won't succeed, and I know this is a thought that won't serve me, so therefore I transform it into a positive thought. I don't think it's the right approach. Because I can't get myself out of course, from my previous perspective, I can't get out of. I can't receive new situations the way I want to. I'm still, my perspective in my subconscious, in an instinctive manner, it works in me, and I'm changing slightly, maybe, the angle, but still, from that point I'm coming. Here I'm talking about a person apparently erasing part of what he has in accordance with life and taking and getting a new approach to life. And this he can't do. This only a society can do. That's stronger than the previous society defined in him. And he goes into this society in joy and willingly to get rid of what he had before. He doesn't want to live that horrible life where he's always in fear and pressure and competition and hatred, and that he hates himself and others, and he's always in these under these pressures. He wants to go from drama to something good, to the harmony of life. And here there has to be work to truly change himself, because he has to get new values that are opposite to his previous state, opposite to his nature. It's a second nature, it's habits and everything. And he needs to receive it from the new society. This is how I describe to myself. Where am I going to get this society? Let's say it exists. If it does, then I only see the possibility of correcting a person from his previous life to the new life. Just like before, he got filling. And let's say his internal order through his previous society in the same manner. Now he has to go through this inner change through the new society. Because truly, many times, I can imagine to myself the type of change in him. Everything else will be slight adjustments. And in the end, he'll end up on drugs, because we see that that's the easiest solution, even to such an extent that even governments speak about it. The governments allow it. There's no war against the mafias anymore that are sending it from South America to America to Europe. Today, they're opening their eyes and not seeing it as a bad thing. There's just a question, and to what limit. If people can calm down from that, so let them calm down. Maybe that's the direction toward happiness and positivity. Freud was close to it. We know he tried all those things. And he thought that also maybe that was one of the solutions, at least. Okay, I still wanted to ask. There's still people that are more positive and more happy. Why are there people that have this inner negative voice? They call it this inner radio, that they always have negative thoughts and they're pessimistic and they criticize themselves, because we're living in a society that demands, that pressures us, that threatens us. We're living in a society that's completely egoistic, and I always have to protect myself to get ready for something. I have to be protected. Pension, Social Security, insurance companies, lawyers. We each have a lawyer and we each have a psychologist. Without that, I can't move anywhere. It's as if we made our life in such a way that first of all, I'm in protection mode, that nothing will hurt me. And for the good, I can think about later. And what good? When things aren't bad, that's already, thank God. And in this manner, of course, a person is always in a passive mode toward the feeling of attaining happiness and positivity. And he's always checking himself. Am I not harming anything? Look how people go through the streets, how we drive, not just in Israel, but in New York, in Moscow, in all kinds of places, in the big cities in the world. I see that people are living They just want to get by. They just want to get where they need to go. They want to look good and externalize themselves. That I'm not even talking about. The world is pressuring us to look a certain way, etc. And I'm always working according to the standards, the values of society. So you mean it's not because of my character or my problem that I have inside this, that I have this negative radio inside? No, I have to do it. That's why I have the negative radio. Because it's like they're humming in my ear the whole time that I have to do this. And talk to all those people that hold themselves confident and pretty and happy and everything. It's they're acting. Inside they have pressures and problems, because a person can't be happy from that. It's just a game. It might be a game of his own toward himself. In most cases, it's like that. When we receive these external values that we defined as ours, then I'm not acting, it's mine. That's what I think also. I'd like to understand this negative radio. You say we live in a society that's humming to us all the time, broadcasting from this radio all the time, that's pumping us up with all kinds of pressures, different pressures. And if we're pressurized, and as a result, we feel that this inner voice is like a negative radio. Now, let's say the three of us live in the same society and we grew up in the same with the same values. So apparently, we should have some kind of we should have the same inner negative radio. But we see that in reality, that mine is stronger than yours, and then we'll define you as a more optimistic person, and me as a pessimistic person. Why does it happen like that? Or let's put it like this. If I have my negative radio turned up toward you and we're in the same environment, let's say we're the same age. Let's say we're really friends and everything's the same. My inner radio, negative radio, is at full volume, and for you, it's we could even be brothers in the same family. Really. So what would you say then? I want to separate who has more or less. Each of us has an inner charge that he was born with. When you came out of our mother, when you came out with your body, with your brain, with all your attributes, not like me. And let's say you have a bigger ego and you want to attain everything in the whole world, and I'm a calmer person, or you're attracted to technical things. That also comes from birth. Technical things, some money, technology. And I'm a person that I like dancing, music, culture. I see that with my kids. One is an artist. The other one has this money thing ever since he's small. He sees his whole world according to terms of money. The other one's a scientist. Okay. So in accordance with that, everyone has their inclinations in life. That's clear. So let's focus on the negative radio. Let's see, one has a negative radio that's full of volume, and the other one has a positive radio. One has always this pessimism. In that as well, relatively, we're born with that as well. So you mean it's things we're born with? Yes, but it's inclinations that we can improve and increase or decrease. How? Through the environment. So let's say the environment, let's say, that's why I gave the example of brothers. They grew up in the same environment. It's a static thing, and this experiment that we're doing, it's something that doesn't change. So the only thing that's left is you and I. We're in this society. There's a constant thing, and the only thing that can change is you and I. Let's say I have a more negative radio. What can I do with it? What radio? I have this inner negative voice that's always broadcasting pessimism, that things aren't good, that nothing will succeed. No, no, no. And you're always the opposite. You're always happy, smiling, I'm going to succeed. And I'm always in a bad way. So you will reach more, attain more than I will, because you'll never have enough. You'll always be lacking. It's actually good. It's apparently good for advancement. The question is, will you advance in that well, or it will never be enough for you, and it will become a sickness. What does it mean, good? I want to be a scientist. I remember myself from the youngest age, I wanted to be a scientist, and I don't remember if it came from my attributes or I read or saw all kinds of things. But let's say my parents really wanted me to be a pianist. I didn't agree with that. From morning to evening, to play the piano all the time, you need 10 hours a day. I can't do it. I think it's very mechanical and primitive. There's no creation. I didn't feel that there's creation. Even though there is a lot of creation, I didn't feel that there was, compared to the amount of exercises you have to do on a daily basis. So afterwards, they wanted me to be a doctor like they are. I didn't agree to that either. There was an inclination towards science. They said, you'll be able to do this, and how respectable it is. They wanted me to be a surgeon. I didn't want that either. Like, say there's destiny. It's written on a person somehow. But this criticism has nothing to do with a certain profession. A desire, an egoistic desire in a person to attain something. How he does it doesn't matter, but he'll attain it. He can be a painter and also a scientist and a songwriter. But the greatness of his desire is how much his desire pushes him to achievements. And then the question is, there's a person that's never happy until he reaches great achievements, and nothing is worth it to him. Not even a cent less than a million is not enough. I have to make exactly a million. And there's people on the path that they achieve it, and they're happy, and it's not called being satisfied with less. It's the inner psychological perspective of a person has on life, and it depends on the society, the environment, how they taught him to relate to life. To be happy with what there is. And not that to be happy with what there is, that he doesn't need more, that he stopped at the little part. No. But rather, he takes the positivity and happiness from where he is, and in this way he can bring his future closer. He's already happy toward that he's going toward the good things. What does this mean? This means that the future is, soon I'm going to be there, and more to the good things are coming. That faith that he's going to attain something, that same feeling that soon he'll be in some other state, some other place, in knowledge, in a brain, physically, it's already lighting the way for him. It's giving him life. This depends on how we also educate a person, even if from the beginning we have to say that it's in a person from birth, but you can do a correction on it also through the society. And this we see in each generation, because there's a generation that's more optimistic and there's a generation that's more pessimistic. There's cultures. Yes, there's cultures. Chinese are more pessimistic, American more optimistic. How can I strengthen this thing? You say that it's a combination. It depends on the education I received, and it also depends on what I received from birth. There's 1,001 reasons. You want a solution? Yes. Yes, I want to improve this ability. I want to improve the ability, my ability to be, like you said, happy with what I have. Not happy with what I have that I don't want more, but from right now, this is what I need. Be optimistic and also be drawn toward the goal. Exactly. That I'll also advance, and the happiness won't diminish your desire to advance, but it will only strengthen it. You're saying it's possible to strengthen it, environment. And then in this environment, what will we have? Exercises? You'll learn from people how they look at life optimistically today, and they have even more optimism for tomorrow. They feel a certain level of happiness now, but it's from the future. And the happiness from the future doesn't bring them to depression, but rather attracts them forward. And this depends on the support from the environment, the mutual responsibility you get from the society, that they'll help you advance toward it. And then you'll feel happy. Even now, you sense this this desirable future. Through society, you can bring it closer. I didn't really understand. You said learn from people who do feel happiness from the future, meaning you said learn from people who do have this ability to look from now toward the goal they're aspiring to, and even now, one, to feel joy from being on the way to some positive goal, and two, that it doesn't reduce their energy and they continue to invest to attain it. And you're saying to me, if you're surrounded by people who have this ability, learn how to do it, even if in their education and everything they didn't get it. So let's talk about learning from others. How do I learn from them? Let's say Tal has this ability and you did. We're living in you're integrated in a society like that, and you simply receive from them their perspective of life. So you mean it's not something active. It will happen anyhow in us. Of course, you need to bend toward the society. You need to feel as a student of theirs that you want to be like them, that you're interested in having a connection with them, and also this perspective. You want to connect with them to be truly, to have the same feeling of life. Without that, it won't work. You can be in a wonderful society, but it won't influence you. It'll influence you, but a little bit. I'll be really happy to learn from people who think that way or feel that way. But still, I've been taught not to take responsibility for myself, my thoughts. I don't know if we'll have time to go over this, but there's a lot of techniques that talk about how to do this work with myself. So it's important for me to insist and say, why can't I do work with my thoughts? Why does it depend on my connection with others? Let's put it like this. What you have in you. And whatever's in you, it's already from the previous society. Further than this many years, you grew up and you receive from them values, perspective, everything that you have. What do you want to change inside you? You want to do this a bit more, a bit less, give that one more points and less points? She can't somehow, through this training, make some small improvement, but it's still with the new pressures. You won't succeed. It's good for psychologists because they have patients that can't leave them for the rest of their lives. They counsel for themselves. They lie down and they talk. But a really significant change you can have. You can only have that by going to a new positive environment. So you're saying there's a better solution. I'm saying there's a single solution. You can't change yourself from what you are, but rather give some emphasis on these things and to somehow reach a state where you have a bit of relief. And then psychology starts to get mixed up, and the question is, what And then there's, it's a feeling that truly we're progressing, but there's no feeling of a genuine change or complete security. You need new programming, new inner programming, as if you didn't have the previous society. And this society that you grew up in, now you're selecting this society. You're saying, I want to be a person like this. And just like you dress yourself with a new dress, this is how you have to need to receive new internalness, not outside your body, but rather inside your body, the new program. To such an extent, really. Do you feel it? And it can only be by truly with the new environment that you integrate there and you hand yourself over to someone. And then you can replace your entire approach from pessimistic to joy and happiness. If we want to do a little exercise, let's say we would say, let's say we wanted the three of us to build for ourselves some mini society, new society that will be only positive. And I'd say to you, listen, what principle or two principles, something very basic, do we need to adopt for ourselves that will be like a law of our society here between us that will advance us toward positivity? What would you say to me? I don't think society can be less than 10 people. Let's say we're 10 people. Let's say we gather together and we're, what could be the main goal, the main law? Love. Explain, what do you mean love? The feeling of connection, inner connection. The whole connection without any limit between everyone together build this feeling, a new level, a new foundation on which you can build a new paradigm, a new life. In opposition to the previous foundation that was egoistic, based on hatred, competition, and putting strangers down. This is the opposite. And only in this manner that it's completely opposite, only in this manner can I build the new society, to get into the new society, and through that change, others, and to truly reach happiness and positivity. What's the connection between love and positivity? Explain to me what positivity is. Positivity, the meaning is that we're not always crying and we're sorry and regretting and we're stuck in this what's lacking, but we're rather blooming like a flower that's blooming more and more toward the light. You mean looking at the half-empty cup instead of the half-full cup? That's positivity? Yes, that's a positive approach, looking at the half. But the half-empty cup, I see that it's empty, but I'm just not relating to it. You're not focused on it. So that's a lie, you're saying. It's not positivity. It's escaping negativity, because half is gone. You want there to be the other half. I want full. I'm old. So what do I need to think about? The life that's left, the little life that's left, or the life that I went through? What do I need to think about? Tell me. I'm asking you. That's exactly what this talk about. What's positivity? What do you think? Like I understand positivity. She'll say as an expert, I'll say as a regular person. Of course, you need to look ahead at the life that's left and get the maximum out of it. Be happy, healthy, love, living. If you're always regretting what you lost, then you'll always be stuck in the past. And if we go back to the cup, it's the same thing, that you have half full and half empty. You can say, oh, that's so upsetting. It's half empty. You see, I already have. You can always be focused on what you don't have, or you can appreciate what you have. If our goal is for the cup to be full, the question is, how do you get to the full cup? Will you get to it by being sorry? No, I don't want to be sorry. I want to see the cup as full. Good. That's happiness. Happiness cannot be half or a quarter. It fills you up, it blows you up, it inflates you. That's what we want. So I'm asking, you say, make a society where there'll be love. Take 10 people and build love between you, an inner connection without any limitations between you. This will bring you to happiness. So now I'm asking, what's the connection between love that you said? It's the law of laws. I asked for a law. An open connection without limits. Why, through love, do I always feel that my cup is full? That's the question you're asking. That's exactly the question. If that's the law of laws, why? Because I'm connected to everyone. I'm connected to everyone with my heart in such a way that I feel the life of everyone. I'm not old. I'm not some a hermit or lacking powers. I feel that's the life of everyone. Life isn't just life that I love you. I love you. Love that I'm talking about is the inner connection, most inner connection between people, where you don't feel the bodies, that you feel that one heart is acting and they're inside it. And then in this manner, I don't see my life as private. I feel everyone's life. And this gives me a feeling of eternity. Not how much I'm left as an old person, how much I've left. I don't feel I'm going to die. I'm alive and I'm going to live. Because this feeling is beyond time and space. Therefore, true love releases a person from everything. If you want to be truly happy and positive, you need a society in which that brings you into a feeling of love. That's the solution. Now, to build such a society, to integrate in it, to strengthen it, this is the only solution. A person with himself can never change himself. A person with a stranger or with societies that are according to how they were programmed from school and childhood and university, they're also not capable. We see all those modern societies. There's nothing there. It's only on the condition that we build a society that is entirely working according to a single law, the law of love. That is the force that is against our current life that will raise us up to a level where we're apparently not working according to our body. If I'm working with your desires, with your thoughts, with the relations between us, I don't feel myself. I feel general life. I feel general feelings. And therefore, I'm not inside myself. And therefore, there cannot be anything negative or pessimistic in me. But only happiness and positivity are filling me and always changing. And changing and bringing me more and more forms, types of love and connection. What does it mean? It's inside me. I don't feel myself. I feel us. Who's us? Who's us? This entire society. Yes. Society, meaning that none of them, I don't feel in a personal manner. I feel all of us together. I feel that we have something in common. What is that thing? It's something that we're building through connections of love, this common heart, this common feeling that each is coming out of himself, and in this common feeling, he exists. Where is this common feeling between us? In the air. It's not dressed in any physical material. Is it something that can exist through people? It can even exist without a body, that part of us die, part of us don't, it doesn't matter. Can we carry out between us such a society, even if she lives in France and you live in Israel? What distances? That's why I asked you, where's this common feeling? You said between us, in the air. What does that mean, in the air? You're meaning it's virtual. It's something that exists. Where do you get the feeling that you're next to someone else? Where's the meter? It fills the meter. You can measure it, the feeling of love. Love? Love, I can be in love with someone who's very far away. Exactly. It's things that are... It's something in our feeling and our thoughts. In our feeling and our thoughts. But don't say in our feeling and thoughts. It's not here and it's not there, the thinking. We understand that all parts of our body are just giving us a feeling like that, that that's where it happens. It doesn't happen in the body at all. Our heart, if our heart is pumping more, it's not because there's a feeling in the heart. This is how it reacts if we feel hot. Those are all kinds of external things, physical, biological, but for something internal that's not even in the body. Another question, a feeling, our body in the manner that it is now, excuse me, our body, the way it is now, is like... It checks all our feelings in the air, and our body is discovering them. It's like a detector, a sensor. And without this sensor, I wouldn't discover them. It's like I have a machine that discovers. It's like a radio or an antenna. Let's say this feeling of love, can it exist between people at very different ages? Let's say someone old and someone young, someone who lives today and someone who used to live and died thousands of years ago. Okay, I'll have a problem communicating with him. But let's say I'm old and there's a child. Can we have this unlimited love between us? Of course. So what's the common denominator? Love. What do you mean, what's the common denominator? That's the common denominator. The good, positive way we relate to one another, that each wants the other to feel good in every possible way. That's what love is. What's the expression of love in our life? Love itself, we don't know what it is. It's really a philosophical, psychological question, and there's no answer. But what there's expressions of it. I love someone, I want for his good. I'm looking, what can I do for him? That's called loving him. What present? How can we fill him? How can I do good for him? How can I make him feel good? That's an expression of love, to be good and benevolent. Our time is up enough. That's the condition for happiness and positivity. Okay, we're going to have to continue talking about it. It was fascinating. Thank you, Rev Lightman. Thank you, Tal Mandelbaum. Thank you for being with us. We'll look how to be benevolent on our way to happiness. All the best. New life.